2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for these sacred verses, Lord. And dear God, I pray as we continue, Lord, our series on holiness, that you'll help us, dear God, to get a clear, a biblical view of what holiness is. Dear Lord, that we would learn about the sanctification process as we grow in grace, and that you would help us day by day, step by step, wherever we are, Lord, to take that next step. Thank you for the assistance of your Holy Spirit in sanctifying us and helping us, Lord. And I pray that we'd always be tender. May we not grieve the Spirit of God in our lives. May we not quench the Spirit of God. May we always be tender to his, Lord, nudging, his conviction, Lord, his sweet, still, small voice in our life. Lord, may we be quick to respond to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm not going to review last Wednesday night, and you know that I hardly ever ask this, but there's going to be people in different areas of service during these sermons. I get that. I understand that. Last Wednesday night, we preached the first message, and I know we had the young people gone and different things. I'm going to ask you, get on the website or go see Brother Klein and get every single message, and don't miss a message. We've got people right now in the nursery, and I know that we have the screens back there, but I also can appreciate a little bit about what nursery workers are trying to do, and sometimes those children will not just sit with their hands folded in their lap praying for the preacher. I don't know what's wrong with them, but sometimes they won't do that. But I would ask you to do it. Don't miss a message. Just listen to it, hear it. What I preached on last Wednesday night on the three hindrances to holiness is so foundational in order for us to be able to put aside some things so that we can go forward and take this journey together. Tonight I want to explain to you the three steps to holiness. I'll do that in introduction, and then we're going to cover tonight just that first step. There's three steps in this portion of Scripture when we're talking about the subject of holiness. How do we begin the process? How do we go from salvation and then being saved out of the world and from worldliness and then begin the process of sanctification? Well, there's three steps, three different subjects that are covered in this portion of Scripture. Number one is the subject of separation. Separation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And that's going to involve three things tonight. We'll preach on teach on these three things: breaking any unequal yoke, separating yourself from anything that opposes God, and then learning to refuse to touch an unclean thing. Those are the three steps of separation. The second step to holiness is sanctification, and that's covered in chapter 7 in the first part of the verse, where we begin the process of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and then cleansing ourselves of all filthiness of the spirit. Lord willing, we'll probably teach on sanctification and those two things this coming Wednesday night. The next Sunday night, we're going to talk about the matter of holiness. And that's, of course, covered in the last part of that verse. What does it mean to perfect holiness in the fear of God? Well, we'll get into that and teach that and touch on that. Tonight, I want to talk about the very important subject of separation. I believe that God presents these in the proper order. I think it's hard to go to sanctification until you first do some separating. You're going to have a hard time cleansing yourself from the filthiness of the flesh and the filthiness of the spirit if you're hanging around the crowd that's encouraging that stuff. And so holiness then, of course, follows sanctification. But we want to talk about this matter of separation tonight. Preacher, what is involved in separation? I hear you talk about separation, that we need to be a separated people, and the biblical doctrine of separation from the world. What exactly does that mean, and what's the exact process that I need to be aware of and be continually evaluating and going through in my life in this matter of being separated unto the Lord? Number one, let's talk about this matter of breaking of unequal yokes. Look, if you will, in verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with, what's the next word? Unbelievers. So the Bible is very specific on telling us that when it comes to this matter of separation, the first thing we have to do is identify if we have any unequal yokes in our life. Now, a yoke, of course, is a piece of wood that binded two oxen or two farm animals together so that the two are bound together and they're working together. They're stuck together, if you will. A yoke is anything that binds two into one. An unequal yoke is anything that binds a believer and an unbeliever together. An unequal yoke is anything that binds a believer and an unbeliever together. Now listen to what I'm going to say next. No Christian should enter into a binding relationship with any unbeliever. I'm talking about a binding relationship. I'm going to qualify this when we get done teaching the specifics of it by going to the prayer that Jesus prayed. I'll have you go with me there. Folks, I understand that we have to be in this world, but there's a difference between being in the world and being of the world. And so I'm going to ask, and you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you some discernment in this. I'm going to break this down. I'm going to give you some examples, but I won't cover everything. And you honestly are going to face decisions and situations in your life where you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit of God, by entering into this relationship, am I creating an unequal yoke? An unequal yoke. Let me give you some examples of an unequal yoke. I believe that close friendships should not be made with unbelievers. Now, let me say this, folks. I think we ought to be friendly to everybody. Okay, I mean that. I mean, how in the world can we reach the world to Jesus Christ if we're not friendly? But there's a difference between being friendly and creating a yoke of a close friendship with an unbeliever. I think that that's an unequal yoke. I think a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is obviously a yoke that's binding two people together. I want to say this. If you're a saved young lady, you shouldn't enter into any type of a relationship, any type of a romantic relationship with a young man that's not saved. And by the way, well, he says he's saved. Well, please have enough wisdom to look and have enough sense. If he loves you and he knows he needs to be saved in order for you to hang around with him, it's amazing what all of a sudden. I've seen them get religion when they are after our girls, and I've seen them lose it the minute that they break up with our girls. Sadly, in the process, sometimes there's collateral damage. I'd also say it to our young men. Please, please, please be careful in this area. Oh, but she's beautiful. You won't think so when you see her across the aisle in the divorce court, okay? What you better do is follow the Bible, okay? If you're a young man, then don't even entertain the idea of pursuing a young lady in any type of a relationship if she's unsaved. Of course, marriage obviously is an unequal yoke. And I want to be careful on how I teach this, because folks, listen to me, sometimes somebody that's not saved, two unsaved people get married, okay? Then one of the people gets saved. I'm not saying, and the Bible certainly does not teach, that you ought to break that unequal yoke. You shouldn't end that marriage in that situation. And there's great instruction, 1 Peter chapter 3, for ladies that are in that situation on how to win their unsaved, how to be the type of Christian lady that'll influence their husband to Jesus Christ. And sometimes an unequal yoke is developed after somebody's married, but you ought not to, as a Christian, enter into a marriage contract, a marriage relationship with a lost person. Listen, for those of you that are still single and maybe you're a little older, don't let the devil use the tool of desperation in your life to get you to make a bad decision in this area of life. What are we talking about, preacher? Unequal yoke. What are we doing here in this month? Okay, I want to be separated from the Lord. So I'm going to examine every human relationship in my life and make sure that I have not created an unequal yoke. And if I have, then let's not make excuses about it. Let's not try to rationalize why this one exception's okay. Let's begin the separation process, okay? And so how about business partnerships? No, a Christian should never enter into a business partnership with an unsaved person. You've created an unequal yoke. I mentioned this last week. This is the reason I think that you shouldn't have your kids in Little League. This is the reason I don't think you ought to take Christian kids and take them down. I'm talking about team participation. You know what? When you're involved with the team, there's a team spirit. There's got to be a yoke there. They yoke together for a common cause. And many a Christian young person's got involved in sports and they've built strong friendships with those teammates. And then those relationships did not obey 2 Corinthians chapter number 14. And those relationships pulled that young person away from the Lord. Be careful. I mentioned this last week and I'm going to defend it now, but I don't believe that you ought to create, parents, let me listen to me. I don't believe you ought to create a teacher-student relationship with an unbeliever. I don't believe that. You know, Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." The next phrase is interesting. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I actually use this portion of scripture to train our teachers in how to help students. You see, you've got a student, and you know what? All of a sudden, they are laboring and heavy laden because they can't figure out their algebra, all right? And so what they do is they need a teacher to help them. So the teacher comes alongside of them and says, "Okay, you are having trouble pulling this burden by yourself. And so I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to get in the yoke with you. And I'm not doing all the pulling for you, but I'm going to help you get the thing moving." And then you get a student moving, and then you back out of the yoke, and you let them go on forward. And that happens. And listen, you cannot have a teacher relationship, student relationship, without the creating of a yoke. Now listen, the idea of taking the precious children that you have and dropping them off to any school where they're going to walk in and be influenced for 40 hours a week by an unbeliever. Well, they're just an awful nice person. They may be a really nice unbeliever, but the Bible doesn't say unless they're nice. Okay, goodness sakes alive, we've got to think about what we're doing. Folks, listen to me. I've sat in a public school system. You're not going to fool me. Okay, this isn't a kid that got to go through kindergarten through 12th grade. I was in the public school. Listen, I heard public school teachers at Shackamack High School, I was there, say in the classroom some of the most ungodly and wicked things, make fun of religion, make fun of me for being a Christian. And that was back when things were still pretty decent, not great, but still pretty decent. And let me tell you something, folks, the gloves have come off. Listen, it used to be this. Now listen, I'm going to say this, and then you get with God. You know what? God gave you those children, didn't give them to me. And by the way, I'm not going to stand and answer for them. You're going to stand and answer for them. But it used to be, I'd say, don't put your kids in a public school because it may be the difference between them serving God or not serving God. Listen, you better hear what I'm going to say now. You better not put your kids in a Christian school. It could be the difference between them being heterosexual and homosexual. Because they're after them. They are after them. Okay, and they're especially going to target your kids when they found out they go to church, okay? Believe me, don't believe me, I'm right. If you don't believe what I just said, I'm right, you're wrong. I've got Bible, you don't. And boy, we just need a generation of young adults that'll make the decision that I'm going to keep my young people separate. I'm not going to, if I'm going to drop them off and there's going to be a yoke and that's going to involve a teacher and a student, that's going to be a born again, separated, independent, fundamental Baptist that believe the same that I do is going to be teaching my kids. Amen. So we're talking about teacher-student relationship. How about this? Any club or organizational memberships that require joint participation. That require joint participation. Now, you could join something that does not require you every week or every month to meet with all of the members and have a yoke. For instance, I'm a member of the NRA. Matter of fact, I'm a proud member of the NRA. The more the media attacks the NRA, the more I write to them and give them more money and extend my membership, all right? They're trying to sell me a lifetime membership, but you talk about a raw deal, there's no way I'm buying that now. Good night, they're going to get a lot of money. I don't have that many years left, so I'm just going to keep re-upping. But you know what? That does not require me to meet with every other unsaved NRA member and participate in a weekly yoked situation with, are you listening to me? But there are some clubs that require that. You know, well, I'm going to have my kid involved in this and they have a weekly meeting. Who's running that meeting? And what other kids are in that organization? You better obey the Bible, folks. You better obey the Bible. I won't tell you who, it doesn't matter. But I had a dad that used to come here, put all of his kids in our Christian school, and for a lot of years backed our church and backed it. And you know what? Some of the kids were involved in sports. And when they put them into our school, my dad's rule back in those days is if you're going to put them into Christian school, you're not going to leave them involved in the sports programs of the world. And so that dad made the decision to end those relationships and put his kids in the Christian school. Years later, all of his kids had graduated from our school. All of them were faithful in church. All of them serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them even in full-time service. But that dad backslid. And he came by and saw me the last time he came to see me. And I did everything I could. I believe that. I can lay my pillow on my head at night with a clear heart. And I don't know of a thing more I could have done to try to help him as a pastor. But I will say this. The last thing he said to me was very interesting. He started to walk out of my office and he came back and he stuck his head in the door and he said, hey, I just want to tell you something. If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't have taken my kids out of sports. And I just looked at him like this. And then without me saying a word, I just looked at him. And then without me saying a word, he put his head down and he said, but I guess they are all serving the Lord, aren't they? But I still wouldn't have taken them out of sports. And isn't it interesting that the Lord convicted his own heart over that statement? And I just, when he said they're all serving the Lord, I just kind of went and looked. Okay. All right. I don't have to argue back with you on that. And so listen to me, folks, please. Let's not create unequal yokes, okay? Club, organizational memberships, placing our children under the tutorage or mentoring of an unbeliever. You're going to have to make decisions, folks. But I'm telling you, I would not take my girl and take her to somebody that's going to teach her an instrument, teach her music, or teach her that wasn't a born-again believer. I'm telling you what Jerry Ross wouldn't do, because again, you cannot have a teacher or a tutoring, mentoring relationship without creating a yoke. Well, I know, but this person's the best. Listen, you're handing your child over. Well, they'd surely tell me, oh, I know a lot of kids that don't. And there's a lot of things that aren't found out till after the fact, sometimes years later. You try to scare us? I hope I'm scaring you. In this day and age, you better be scared. You read the same paper I read? You better be scared. Okay, how about this last one? A membership of any secret society or lodge. Okay, that creates an unequal yoke, okay? And you know, that, to me, that's a no-brainer. I know sometimes people wrestle with that. Good night. If where you show up for your weekly or monthly meeting involves a room that has a bar in it, then I shouldn't have to say anything to you about that. You ought to have enough Holy Spirit and enough King James Holy Bible to figure that one out for yourself without me having to say a word about it, although I just did. Amen. And so we're talking about the breaking of unequal yokes. Well, preacher, good night. What are you asking us to do? And it's where people get a knee-jerk reaction because they don't want to listen to this principle. What are we supposed to do? Become Amish? What are we supposed to do? Move over to, all get on a rocket and go to the moon? And now I'm going to take you over to John chapter number 17. And you know what, folks? I know that what we call the Lord's Prayer, but I think if you really want to read the Lord's Prayer, then go to John chapter number 17, because you talk about an entire chapter where we listen to the Lord pray, and we listen to him pray for us. How sweet is that? That Jesus, in the closing moments of his life, he prayed for his disciples, but he also prayed for you, and he prayed for me. We'll see that tonight. In John chapter 17, I won't read the whole prayer, but look in verse number 6. He said to the Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. So when God gave him those men, he gave them out of the world. Jump down to verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Yeah, we're stuck here, folks. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Remember I talked about that yoke takes two and makes them into one? You know how to prevent yourself from having unequal yokes? Do what we read when we talked about Jesus offering a yoke. Get in a yoke with him, okay? And then anybody else that you think about getting a yoke with, you look over at him and look at them and make sure that there's a family resemblance, okay? Make sure there's a family resemblance. He goes on to say this, verse 12. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee. Jesus is coming to God the Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now notice verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the what? The evil. All right, folks, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now, let me just help you. At this point, folks, listen, I can't cover every scenario, and I'm not supposed to. I'm trying to give you an umbrella Bible principle that you must use discernment in your life. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You must begin to exercise wisdom, okay? Young people, it's coming. We've got seniors. I hope you're praying for our seniors right now. You know, they're going to be launching out. And all of a sudden, Mamilia, life's going to get real. And you're going to have to make decisions. And all these things we've taught, it isn't going to be mom and dad standing right there, being able to control everything. And if you're not careful, young people, when you finally get some of those freedoms, if you're not careful, boy, you are ripe for the devil coming in and appealing to your pride. Well, I finally get to make my decision. Wait a minute. Excuse me. You're in charge of you? I thought that maturity, Christian maturity, was understanding that now God is making those decisions and helping you make those decisions. But listen to me, what I'm going to say here. Listen, you're going to have to take this Bible principle and you're going to have to test it out. And there's times that you're going to get involved in a relationship. And you know what? It may not seem dangerous or damaging, but I'm going to ask you to be tender to the Holy Spirit of God. If all of a sudden a new friend or a new relationship, or some of you get this technology going and you begin to hook up with certain people or influences through the internet, and all of a sudden you notice that your spiritual life is going into a tailspin and your love for the God is diminishing, and you're saying things that you wouldn't have said before you met this person, I pray that you will lay aside your pride. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. How about being worried about hurting God's feelings? Okay, I mean, I can't find anywhere in the Bible. I think I'm supposed to please the Lord's who I'm supposed to please. Now, listen, come on, 20-somethings. Mom and Dad's not there to rescue from yourself anymore. And you know what? I still hope that you are talking to your parents and you keep your parents involved in your life. But hey, there comes a point in time when we all have to start making decisions, and let's make them according to the Word of God. Let's stay separated from the world and make sure that we do not involve ourselves in an unequal yoke. All right? Makes sense to you? All right, let's go to the second one then. We're talking about examining our lives and breaking any unequal yokes. Number two, the second part of our journey towards holiness and towards Christ-likeness is then separating yourself from anything that's opposed to God, anything that opposes God. Now let's go back and let's go to 2 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter number 6, and let's talk about that. We're talking about separation now. It says in verse 14, be ye not not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Then we get down to verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Now notice this. This is an active decision on your part to come out from among them. It's not a matter. I hear some people say this, and I do understand it. Trust me. So I've heard preachers say, you know what? You begin to do the right things and live for the Lord and take the right stands. You're not going to have to separate yourself from the world. The world will separate themselves from you. You know what? And to a certain extent, you will see that. But not everybody will. And the command isn't to wait for them to separate from you. The command is for you to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, this is an active decision on your part to come out from among them. Who are the them? These are those friends. These are those relationships that's holding you back from being all that you could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, show me your friends today, and I'll show you who you'll be tomorrow. And so, folks, this matter of friendships are so important. But we're talking about separating ourselves from anything that's opposed to God. Now we go back up and we see specifically what we need to separate ourselves from as we read down verse 14 and on down. Let me give you some real specific, some things to think about. Listen, if you're going to separate yourself from anything that's opposed to God, then you need to break any binding relationships that yokes you with an unbeliever, and then you need to not only break that yoke, but then you need to separate yourself from that situation, okay? And we're talking about separating ourselves. The Bible says that we should separate ourselves from several things. There's a list of things. Let's read them together, and then let's break them down. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, okay? So obviously, we should not, as a believer, we should not be yoked with an unbeliever. We've covered that. But it goes on and says this, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So here we're given some very specific 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 very specific things that we need to make sure that if we need to separate ourselves from a situation that's involving this, that we do it. Okay, first of all, we've covered this already. Breaking the yoke, that the partnership or the binding relationship between any unbeliever. What's the second one? We should separate ourselves from anything that encourages fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, folks, the idea that we can take righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of the world and marry them together is the entire basis of the belief system of the contemporary progressive church. Okay, that's why if you were going to that type of a church, you should separate yourself out of that situation. Yeah, preacher, I like the Christian rock. Well, you can take the right words and put them to the wrong music, and you've married righteousness to unrighteousness, okay? And so you've got to be careful in this matter. Folks, the entire progressive contemporary church movement involves this idea of, you know what, we're going to hold God's hand with my left hand and hold the devil's hand with my right hand. I'm going to say that I'm embracing Jesus, but I'm going to scream of worldliness, and I'm going to involve myself in worldliness. So folks, I want you to stop and think about this. Is there an area of your life where you're trying to reach over and take something that's righteous and marry it to something that's unrighteous? If you are, the Bible says, come out from among that unrighteous. Turn your back on it. Get clear over here and separate yourself from unrighteousness. How about this? We should separate ourselves from anything that tries to create communion between light and darkness. All right, there's light and then there's darkness. I'm going to give you some illustrations in my life. I'm just going to give you one example of each of these, but I'm going to tell you that you need to take the principle and look at your life, okay? Preacher, man alive, how many times in the last 24 years that you've been here in this ministry working, have you received some pressure or an invitation or somebody reaching out to you from the local ministerial association, putting the pressure on you, making kind of snide remarks, saying, acting like, you know, we don't like the community or love the community as much as we ought to because I won't be a part of that? You'd be surprised how many times that's happened in the last 24, 25 years. You know, I shop in the same place as you shop. I rub shoulders with the same people you do. I get asked that question. I've had other pastors in the area stop me in stores and stop me in parking lots. And I mean, listen, I don't take offense at that. I don't think they're trying to be evil. They just do not understand the principle of separation. What are you talking? You're saying that we're light and they're darkness? Listen to me. If they're teaching another gospel that is not another, then yes, I don't care if it says church on their sign, and I don't care if they got a cross on their steeple. Let me tell you something. That's darkness. Okay? You can't tell people. Listen, you can't tell people that a false way to heaven and then expect me to be able to have a yoked relationship with you. I'm going to say it plain. If I was sitting at the table with the people, the preachers in this community that come from all of the churches that's a part of that ministerial association, there would be marked differences in this matter of salvation. Okay, so I can't yoke with them. Let me just say this, folks, and please understand what I'm saying. But Billy Graham, and I, you know what? I'm glad for everything he did for the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, let's not deify him. He made a horrible decision in his life when he decided that he was going to ignore the principle of separation. Okay, and decide that he was going to join up with the Catholics and join up with other denominations that teach and preach a different gospel. You say, but he was preaching the gospel. Yeah, you know what? I'll give him, hey, good for him. Amen. I'm glad for that. But you know what? If you're preaching the right gospel, you shouldn't be partnering up with people that preach another gospel. That's darkness. This is light, okay? And that's just something in my life, but you need to look at your life, okay? What is there that is darkness? And you know what? We're just supposed to be the light of the world. What are you around that's dimming your light? Listen, who do you get around that every time you do, you feel like you got to put your light under a bushel? Okay, and so separate yourself from anything or anyone that tries to create communion between light and darkness. I got to move on. Separate yourself from anything that seeks to find common ground between Christ and Satan. Christ and Satan. Now you say, nobody does that. Jehovah's Witnesses do. Yeah, they'll teach you that Jesus and the devil were brothers. They were both equal created beings. One just chose right, one just chose wrong. Man, that's dangerous, folks. Jesus wasn't a created being. He was the Son of God, eternal. He's not only the Son of God, you hear me say it often, but he's God the Son. He's a member of the triune God. He's not just some angel that was created on the same level as the devil, and his brother the devil went bad and he went good. Better be careful about when people are trying to find common ground between Christ and Belial. Folks, listen to me. We have to watch this even on the mission field. I've talked to a lot of missionaries on this. Let me tell you what's happening in a lot of these countries. Listen, folks, they don't have just one God. They have many gods. They don't just really have one belief system. They adopt many belief systems. And a lot of the missionaries said we have to be so careful, especially a new missionary, a rookie missionary, because he'll come in, preach the gospel, and boy, they'll say, yeah, we'll put our trust in Jesus. We'll accept your God. But you know what they're saying? Hey, what's it going to hurt? One more. You know, there's a difference between receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and receiving Christ as your Savior and repenting or turning your back or denouncing all of the other false gods. You can't trust in Jesus and 17 other gods and have Bible salvation. And a lot of these people are taking, and most of these false gods, all of these false gods, let me say it, all of these false gods are fallen angels. They are little g gods. They are from Satan's dominion. And you can't just chuck them in together with the true God and believe in him also and be on your way to heaven. All right, the next one. Separate yourself from anything that tries to find common ground between a believer and an infidel. Now, again, I'm going to warn you, okay? So, too many Christians are intimidated by so-called intellectualism, okay? I'm talking about people that want to, you know, we don't want to sound like we're ignorant. I mean, faith in the Bible is just too, you know, that's not intellectual enough. So when we get into an argument with an atheist or an argument with somebody that's an evolutionist, what we want to do is try to say, well, you know what, maybe we can find some common ground. Listen, I don't believe in theistic, thank you, I just got stuck there, theistic evolution. I don't believe in that. What is theistic evolution? It's compromise, that's what it is. It's saying, I just don't want to believe in an actual 6-day Well, then the Bible says the evening and the morning was the first day, all right? Six-day creation. What we want to do, these people that believe in theistic evolution wants to do, is that they want to say, well, we believe God created everything, but then we want to balance our belief with this so-called science, which is pseudoscience. It's not real science, folks. There's more science that supports a six-day young earth creation. There's more evidence for that than there is these billions and billions and billions of years ago, okay? Well, preacher, you don't understand. A diamond, we found a diamond. And you know what? It was down in the earth. And you know what? You have to compress coal for millions and millions of years in order for that coal to turn into a diamond. You sound like an evolutionist. Or maybe this happened. When God created the heaven and the earth, maybe he just stuck diamonds everywhere. But you don't understand, for the Grand Canyon to have been there, that river would have had to run there, and that takes billions of years. Or maybe God just created the Grand Canyon. Or maybe the flood helped create the Grand Canyon. Now, what I'm saying is be very careful. You know what? There shouldn't be any common ground between a believer and an infidel, okay? When you begin to compromise with the infidel, and again, it's because we don't want to just sound like a bunch of dumb Bible believers when we say, you know what? You know why I believe in creation? And you know why I believe in six-day creation? Because the Bible said so. Amen. Well, what about this science? I don't care about your stinking science. The Bible said so. Okay, and again, it's not science, it's pseudoscience. We can get into that too. But what I'm saying is don't start feeling pressure to decide that we need to start finding common ground with infidels. I'm not going to meet that infidel and see if we can reconcile our differences. I'm going to talk to that infidel, open my King James Holy Bible, and go to John 3:16 and tell him about a Savior that loved him and a real heaven and a real hell, and try to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in meeting him in the middle. I'm interested in him getting over to being a believer himself, okay? All right. Then the last one, or tries to find some agreement between the temple of God and idols. Separate yourself from anything that tries to find an agreement between the temple of God and idols. And I guess from a religious standpoint, how can you read that and then walk into a Catholic church? You know, I think to myself, goodness sakes alive, you walk into a Catholic church, there's idols everywhere. Oh, preacher, those are statues. They're not idols. Then why are they bowing down in front of them, praying to them? Okay, why if you go to the Vatican, the statue of Peter, people have gone to the base of that statue and kissed his big toe so many times that his big toe's missing. That's not how I lost mine, Brother Max. That is not how I lost mine. No, no. First of all, you wouldn't touch my feet. I'm going to tell you something. If you touch my feet, you get hurt. Because I am so ticklish in my feet. I mean, when I was sitting back in my recliner as a young dad and we had toddler girls and they'd be, you know, trying to walk and they're hanging on to stuff and they'd come around the edge of the recliner and they'd touch my foot. Good night. We were in the living room. They were 1 second, but then they were in the dining room because I kicked them clear to the dining room. You're going to leave my foot alone. You're not kissing it. You're not touching it. You just leave my feet alone, okay? But don't tell me they're not idols. Now, hold on a minute here. That's easy for us to go to a Catholic church and say, okay, what in the world are they doing? But folks, remember this. The temple of God is the body of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, we're the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. So it's easy for us to attack a religion that's still tied into idol worship. But wait a minute. There's independent fundamental Baptists that are tied into idol worship too. So let's let God work on us when we're talking about separation. There should be no agreement. Is that what it says here in verse 16? And what agreement hath the temple of God? By the way, that's this body right here. What agreement should I have with idols? None. None. And you know what, folks? A lot of things can become an idol. And it's not just a statue. A hobby can become an idol. You know, I mean, very easily a hobby can become. We can make a person an idol in our life. I warn you, I'm going to warn you again. You ever get to the point in your life where you're more worried about maintaining a relationship with a person than you are maintaining a relationship with God, then that person has become an idol in your life. They've become your little G God. Okay, I'm not sounding the trumpet. I know it's hard. I know we love our family. I know all of those things. But folks, there's only one God. And we're to love the Lord God with all our hearts, with all our soul. That's the first commandment. Okay, there's only one God. Only one person gets to be God. And so be very careful in this area of our life. Now, it won't take me long, I promise you. I'm going to introduce this to you. We'll teach more on it next week. But what about this last one, preacher? You said there's three steps. We identify and break yokes. We separate ourselves from anything that's opposed to God. And then notice, if you will, in verse number 17, wherefore come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the what? Unclean thing. Now listen to me. You can do the same word study that I do. The tools are all there, and I love that that's true. I like being held to account. I shouldn't be get up here and start making up stuff, and I don't. I study it out. But that word unclean there, folks, has two very distinct definitions. All right? We're talking about, when you say touch not the unclean thing, we're talking about things that encourage moral impurity. Things that encourage moral impurity. And then it also has a secondary idea of anything that's demonic or satanic. Okay, so anything that would take you or lead you towards immorality in your life is an unclean thing. Anything that opens up some kind of a satanic door in your life is an unclean thing. Listen to me for the next few minutes. It's worth the few minutes we're going to take. Folks, listen to me. This matter of moral purity in this society, preacher, good night. You realize, folks, that it seems like that how hard it is not to have, the word touch means not to have any contact with anything that is morally impure or could lead to moral impurity. Okay, in 2018, the entire society and culture is saturated with the idea of immorality. Sexuality is so infused into our culture that this includes so many areas that it is something that we have to work diligently at if we're going to be obedient in this area of our life. I don't have a lot of times, but I want to, folks, please blow the trumpet. The internet is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. You know, I want to say something because of what I have taught in our Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class. But I want to tell you, every once in a while you'll hear your pastor say, you know, I've Googled this and I've researched this. I want to tell you this. I do so very, very, very carefully. And I don't go very deep into anything. Because I tell you what, it doesn't take very long and you start getting into the things that, you know what, you don't even need to be reading. You don't even need to be thinking. You know, I try to walk the balance of we've got to blow the trumpet and we've got to make sure people understand that, you know what, these things are going on. But at the same time, I don't want you to know and I don't want to know everything that's going on. I don't mind being simple concerning evil. But I want to tell you this, folks, listen to me. You're going to have to evaluate. And I think the Holy Spirit, I don't have a lot of application here because I need the Holy Spirit to help you right now. Gentlemen, listen to me. What has slipped into your life that is causing you to have an increased temptation in this matter of moral purity? You know what? You're not to touch the unclean thing. You're not to touch it, not to get near it. I want to read these verses out of Proverbs, the warning. For the commandment, chapter 6, the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means, I could name names. By the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I'm going to tell you, folks, this whole idea, there's just a bunch of innocent girls out there. That is not the case anymore in this society. And young ladies, there's not a bunch of innocent young men that just love you because you love Jesus either. You better wake up. The Bible says this, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Now let me tell you what happens. So the devil will open up a little door, and all of a sudden, you know what? You start just dabbling and touching and playing a little bit with the unclean thing. But you know what? You're still reading your Bible, and you still go visiting, and you're still being used to the Lord in some areas of your life. And it's amazing how we can begin to justify that, and the devil set the hook, and he's fully going to start reeling you in. And I'm going to tell you something. It's been the testimony of so many good and godly men that just began to make a few allowances in their life. And the next thing you know, the devil's got them and the trap snaps shut and their lives are never the same. Please, 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 you cannot. If you're going to play with an unclean thing, I read that verse. It's like saying, well, I'm just going to play with a little fire. I'm just going to pick up a small handful of hot coals. I'm not going to get a whole bunch, preacher. I'll just get a few, and I'll hold them up to my bosom like that. And you can't do that without eventually getting burned. And you may feel like that you're balancing it out and figuring it out, and you're on top of it, and it doesn't control me. I control it. I've heard all that nonsense. But I'm telling you, God's word is true. Listen, be tender tonight. I mean that. Be tender. If your life is any area of your life, whether that unclean thing is touching your hands or touching your mind, you know what? And you need to get rid of that. You're not going to get complete and go forward in this sanctification process as long as you have those things in your life. Now, I want to also warn you real quick about this matter of anything demonic. Now, here's the two things. I'm looking at two arenas of life. What has the culture produced? We've had a tsunami of sexuality take over the culture. It's hard to be involved in anything, touch anything, look at anything, see anything, that read a book, do anything where that's not integrated into it. But also integrated into almost everything out there. I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about horror movies. I'm talking about books, video games, music. I'm talking about being introduced to demonic ideas and opening demonic doors. Television shows are involved in it. There's websites out there everywhere. Help us, Lord. Chat rooms, tarot cards, Ouija boards, all of these things that may seem harmless. But the Bible says, touch not, to have no contact with anything that could give Satan a foothold in your life or open a door to demonic oppression. Again, I'm not making a lot of application here, because we need to look, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. Because, folks, this matter of holiness is going to cause us, if we get serious about this month, it's going to cause us to have to look at some things that we've been justifying in our life. It may cause you to have to go home and go through the library and some of the books that you've been reading and say, you know what, these things talk too much about the wrong things, and they just need to go in the old trash barrel out back. Just burn them up, okay? There was a young man, I'll finish with this story, that I tried to help him, and we did try to help. And I try to be very careful when it's dealings with people that you might know. But there's a young man that came back to church here after being gone for some time, and I met with him and tried to help him. But let me tell you the mistake he made. While he was backslidden away from the Lord, he began to get on websites and he began to involve himself in the occult. And let me tell you what he said to me when he started talking to me about this and opening up about this in his life. Boy, isn't the devil slick? You know what he said? He said, preacher, he said, I didn't do it in order to worship Satan or to open up that area of my life. He said, I just thought this. If you're going to be successful against your enemy, then the best thing that you can do is learn everything you can about that enemy. Well, listen, the reason I'm telling you this is, notice how slick the devil is. I mean, like I sit there and listen to that, and I almost wanted to go like this, and then I went like that. Well, what? Okay, I mean, that sounds logical, that sounds rational, but it's not biblical. And he began to involve himself in some stuff, and I'm going to tell you, folks, listen to me, I love this young man. I mean, I love him with all my heart, but there is a demonic oppression upon his life that is unreal. I don't know if he's saved, I don't know if he's unsaved, I don't know if it's a possession or oppression, but I know this, that kid's mind is messed up. His heart is messed up. And I don't know if he'll ever get it right. Now listen to me, what I'm saying. When did that start? Wonder what it says on this. Oh, I saw this in a movie. I wonder what that is talking about. You know, Google can be your worst enemy. Maybe it's curiosity that killed the cat. Well, I'll just read a little bit about it. And I understand, folks, like I said, I'm very selective in what I research, but I'm going to tell you something. If it has anything to do with demonology, buddy, I'm just back completely away from it. Well, don't you? And I'll just be simple concerning evil. I don't need to know all that junk. You know what? I think everything that I told this young man this, I said, you have got to get off those sites, because he was still on them. Well, I'm trying to learn. I said, everything that God wanted you to know and that you need to know about the demons and devils is found in God's holy word. Amen. So you study it. That's safe. That's inspired. That's as much as God needs for us to know. And you leave all the other stuff alone. Okay? And listen to me, folks. Be careful about this. Now, what are we doing, preacher? We're going through a process here, okay? Well, we're talking about, all right, we want to begin this. Separation's important. Are there unequal yokes in your life? Are there unequal yokes? Pray about this. Think about it all week long. Now, I mean, the person right now that you're trying to defend in your heart, why are you trying to defend them? That should tell you something, okay? All right? Break those unequal yokes. Separate yourself from anything that is opposed to God. And then in this matter of morality and demonic, anything demonic, listen, don't get near that stuff. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Get that completely out of your life. Well, I've been reading this series of books, and it talks about this and that, and it, sometimes I wonder, get away from that junk. Get away from that junk. And this will help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been able to spend. Oh, Lord, the devil, he's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, he is good at what he does. The Bible says that he was able to deceive the nations, not just individual people. He's been able to deceive entire nations. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, we're thankful that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But boy, sometimes I fear that Christians underestimate the devil. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we wouldn't play around with this stuff. We wouldn't get near it. We'd purge it out of our lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll take and make application. I'm asking you to do it in my life. I want to be tender-hearted towards this. I don't want to hinder this process of holiness. But Lord, I also ask that everybody that's in this room tonight will go home and have an honest conversation with you about every area of their life, the yokes that they've created, the things that they haven't separated themselves from, and perhaps the things that they are touching on a regular basis that's leading to these dangerous and wicked and evil areas. Lord, help us. We want to be a holy people. David said, he said once in one of the Psalms, he says that I'm able to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. And Lord, I want to be able to do that. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean perfect. But Lord, we can be holy. You would not have told us to be holy if we couldn't be holy. As we teach the differences between these things, I pray that you'll help us in Jesus' name.